We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
The exclusive home for Red Sox baseball. Sports Radio 93.7 WEEI-FM and HD1 Lawrence Boston. A Radio.com sports station. And Bradford, Alex Reamer, Jermaine Wiggins, and Rob Bradford on Boston Sports Station, WEEI.
I haven't even begun the traffic stop. He got the big black male, and he got out of the car, told him to get back in. He wouldn't comply. I had to yell at him pretty hard for comply. She came out of the house. She will not go back in the house. She's refusing commands. He was refusing commands. Now he's complying. I don't want to conduct it.
We're back here, Reamer, Wiggy, Bradfo. It's the some sound from the Landon Roberts traffic stop, which, again, interesting, this happened in early March, March 10th, and we just found out about it a couple days ago. Landon Roberts
released... How did this come out? I should know that.
USA video. Today. Yeah. The video, actually, I saw on YouTube, had been posted since March,
I believe.
I think so. Maybe USA Today had a story this week, and that was the first time it was publicized.
Well, that was the first time that Friday is when I saw the video, when the video
came out. So maybe the video was not released until Friday. You're right, Wiggy. But USA Today had a piece as well, was the first outlet that reported this. And Landon Roberts has a statement. Unfortunately, these types of things are happening all too often to African-Americans. He was doing 59 and 35. So the pullover is not, the traffic stop is not controversial, obviously. What's controversial is the fact that, A, it happened in his driveway. He's pulled over and stopped as he's pulling into his house, and he was then kept in the car for 8 minutes, and you just heard there the officer refer to Roberts as, quote, a big black guy when radioing the dispatcher. Towards the end of the traffic stop, so once the officers finally go out and talk with Roberts, there's a little bit of a back and forth, telling him that they're going to give him a citation for speeding and a citation for not having his insurance. Mm-hmm. He said he had the insurance in his house. We'll play the cut in a second here, John. This is a cut four. So it's Roberts, I would not say getting into a verbal altercation with the officer, but going into a little bit of a back and forth with a police officer as well.
Okay, go ahead, kid. Like,
why are they going to my house? Like, I'm not understanding this.
I need you to have a conversation with me. I appreciate it. That's your
house. Why are they going about my house, sir? I'm just acting.
We'll have that conversation in a moment. Right now, I need to see your insurance.
I don't know where is it.
Okay, how about this? If this were a Texas plate, I could check it electronically as a backup, but because it's a
message... Okay, if you give me time, look at my hand. If you give me time, and I know for a fact, and look at my hand.
Everything, you're cool. You're being cool. It's fine.
If you look at my hand, sir, like all I'm saying is, in the house, in my black backpack, I know I have proof of insurance.
Okay.
I'm just getting back.
All right. What I'm going to do, you're going to get two citations. One for speeding. Another for failure to provide proof of insurance. That will be dismissed upon providing the proof at that time. You'll handle it through the court.
Where was I going?
Sit tight. Keep your hands on the steering wheel.
Sir, I'm...
This is
can
not...
We talk? Can we talk? Like men, can we talk? All I'm saying... I know you
this
saying...
This is not the time.
How can you tell
sir,
me I...
This is not the time.
Okay. Okay, right, I'm going to say it anyway.
Okay. Sit tight.
So I think the officer was pretty respectful there, as was Roberts. I mean, he certainly was a little hyped up, but I would have been if I was pulled over as I was in my driveway. And again, at this time, not knowing
like
why he was pulled over, how fast he was going.
It seemed like he didn't know why he was being pulled over. And I could see that there's plenty of times that you don't necessarily know why the cop's pulling you
over. But if you're going 59 to 35, like, don't you know that you're speeding? I mean, I know whenever I'm speeding to that extent.
But when does a cop, like, you might not even see the cop, right? You might.
Yeah.
And let's say it's Route 1. I drive down Route 1 all the time, right? I drive down Route 1, you know, past Hockey Town all the time. I don't know what the speed limit is there. Right. So if I'm just going down there and I've got to go in with the flow of traffic or maybe late at night, you might not know. And next thing you know, maybe a mile or two later, a cop pulls up behind you. You might not realize that. If you're flying and you see the cop, that's one thing. I think the biggest thing is like I said before, is the communication. If the cop goes, hey, listen, you were speeding back here. That's why I pulled you over. That's why I have you. I understand that if you do have proof of insurance, all you got to do is tell your wife to bring it up.
Am I missing something here that The only thing that really is a problem is the way that he talked to the dispatcher.
Well, that and, like I said, I think making him wait 8 minutes in his driveway without telling him why he was pulled over is not a professional
okay, well,
way to handle it.
Yeah, but, you know, I got to be honest. That happens. That happens everywhere. That happens.
And I think just the... Yeah,
but police, policemen... You know, they wait a long time, and if we're going to pick that apart, then this
well,
is what
I don't
this
know
is
how much
this
that
is what,
happens.
But this is what we're talking about, honestly. This is what we're talking about, where the two things, like, that's fine. What he said to the dispatcher, mm-hmm. absolutely, we can pick that apart. There is good reason for picking mm-hmm. that apart.
We had that coming in, but I'm going to play that sound.
Yeah, so, but the waiting thing, I'm sorry, I can't get my head around. And in terms of the back and forth, I thought both parties
were respectful.
That happens.
But if you're sitting there, think about it. If you're sitting there and the cops are behind you, 8 or 9 minutes might feel like a lifetime. If you don't
know why, especially if you don't know why, on the side of the road.
If you don't know why you're waiting, right? That's the thing. It's one thing if the officer, generally when you get pulled over, right? Cop walks up to the car, pulls you over. Within less than a minute, he walks up to your window, tells you to roll down your window, and says, license and registration. You might say, hey, what's going on, officer? He goes, I'm pulling you over because I clocked you for going 59 and a 35 for speeding. There you go. Within a minute, you know exactly why you pulled
over. Wiggy, you're right, but the takeaway here is, like, what are we talking about? So the headline, the takeaway is... Lennon Roberts made to wait 8 minutes for a cop to approach car?
No, but
you tell me, other than, and we should talk about how he was talking to the dispatcher about, hey, I got a big black guy here. You know, we should talk about that, but everything else, I can't get my head around anything else to say, oh my goodness, I can't believe that happened.
Well, it's that referring to him as a big black guy, and then also telling the dispatcher that Roberts did not comply, and he had to yell at him pretty hard, where he didn't. He told him to get back in the car. He got back in the car. Here's that sound again.
Okay, go ahead, kid. Like, why are they going
to
my house? Like,
I want the dispatcher. So, the dispatcher call, where he calls him the big black guy. I think that's cut three, John, for Roberts. So, yeah, this is the story that we're talking about.
I haven't even begun the traffic stop. He got... He's a big black male. He got out of the car, told him to get back in. He wouldn't comply. I had to yell at him pretty hard for comply. She came out of the house. She will not go back in the house. She's refusing commands. He was refusing commands. Now he's complying. I don't want to conduct it.
So he makes it sound like much more of a high charge situation right. than it was. Like, he's not complying. I had to yell at him pretty hard. Wife won't get back into house. He makes it sound like there's pandemonium and chaos going
right.
on around him.
He's trying to get back in the car.
Get back in the car.
Right. When it was a very calm situation in reality.
He's clearly, so this guy is out of his element. There's no doubt about it.
Right.
He's nervous, as we know, and that's on him.
Yeah, but you're a police officer.
Right, no, he's handling it, and this is why we're picking this apart, because this guy, we know how he was feeling. We know how he was feeling, right? We know mm-hmm. his genuine nature of how he was feeling. But in terms of the actual act of everything that happened when he was talking to Lennon Roberts, this isn't a big deal. This, other than saying how he talked to his wife, get back in the house. But I don't blame, because we don't blame the wife for getting out of the house.
No, even the
at
county
all.
Sheriff reprimanded the officer, at least verbally, saying the way he interacted with his wife, I didn't appreciate the tone.
But when we hear him, the actual back and forth with Robert.
Oh, it's respectful.
There's nothing wrong with
that.
Because
he probably figured out, right. It's respectful at that point.
Right, it's at that point. But I think this is where things can kind of go down this direction that we're going in. There's a lot of good police officers out there that go about it the right way. And even though he's not like, we don't hear him like yelling at Roberts or whatnot, but I think the thing that he's missing, what Roberts doesn't understand, is why. And so if you're being detained, he's just asking the question why. And I think if this police officer said, here's why I'm asking you to stay in the vehicle, here's what the problem is, things I think would have been a little bit less, kind of chaotic, and we wouldn't be in this position where we're in right now.
And it's a little analogous to the Michael Bennett situation in Vegas, from the standpoint that at the end of that whole altercation, The cops are actually respectful towards Bennett. They figure out he's an NFL player.
Yeah, but that's completely different because that's an active shooter situation, right? So there's a crazy chaos. Police think that there's a shooter inside. If you're inside the club, you're running out.
But it's how you're treated leading up to that, or how you think you're treated leading up to that. Before then, everyone gets figured it out, figures everything out. And
it's how you're being talked to. And you could see Landon Roberts' frustration. And that's where I think it's the biggest thing. And it's not about you talking to me in a loud form or you yelling and screaming at you. It's like you not even giving me an opportunity to A, explain myself, or B, you not explaining why you're doing this.
Let's grab Billy in Manchester on this. Hey, Billy. Billy. Billy in Manchester going once, going twice. Okay. Brian in Dighton. Hey, Brian. How are you?
Hi. How you guys doing?
What's going on?
You guys are really reaching on this. You know, you're saying he was stopped there for 8 minutes without an explanation. If you watch the video, the officer's lights are on, and Roberts turns into his driveway.
Yep.
He immediately gets out of the car.
Right.
The police officer doesn't know what's going on. He's not going to yell and say, sir, you're being pulled over for speeding. Now get back in the car.
Yeah, no, but Roberts, but Brian, hold on. Roberts doesn't know what's going on either. He's pulling up to his house. He might think that something's going on inside his house.
And that's another thing, too. We don't know how, when was he going 59 to 35?
Right? I don't know
how long ago was this.
Yeah, I don't know.
Because if I was speeding, let's say, 3 minutes ago, and I got pulled over then in my driveway, I'm like, well, I know I was speeding, or maybe I was, but that was, why is that happening now, you know? So I think he certainly was probably confused.
Okay, but nevertheless, you know your actions right before you're being pulled over. We've all have experience in life of being pulled over by the police, okay? You do something wrong. Oh, the cop see me? Oh, he did. Uh-oh, here we go. Let's see if I get pulled over. He knows what he was doing right before, okay? And in today's day and age, okay, we see on the news almost once a week where the facts are, more white individuals are probably shot by the police and killed.
Because there are more white people in this country, yeah, I mean, Brian. You got to base it off percentages.
Okay, listen,
come on, man.
Listen, I'm just saying.
Brian, but that's a stupid stat because there are way more white people in this country. You got to do it based off percentages. What percent of white people?
But regardless of that, Brian, let's get to the point. Here's the point, right? So if the police officer throws his lights on, why wouldn't he pull him over on the side of the street?
Because Roberts went into his driveway.
Here's the next step. If that was the case, why do we not see video of the police officer behind Roberts saying to dispatch, hey, I've been trying to pull this guy over for the last 2 or 3 minutes, and he won't pull over?
Do you know? Because we don't know the whole story.
Yeah, but wait, Wiggy. So I'll give an example. One second, Brian.
I got a good point, but go ahead.
Okay, I believe you, but let me set it up. Let me be your opening act. Is that I was driving, I was out in the Oakland area driving my rental car, and it was late at night in these back roads, and this car was right behind me, right, for a long, long time, and I sort of kept trying to pull over, and they passed me, kept trying to pull over. I mean, I'm talking about for about, I want to say like 10 minutes.
Okay.
Okay, and so he's sort of gauging it. Finally, I get pulled over, and he's saying, well, why you keep pulling over? Because you're on my tail. But my point is that that was about 10 minutes. This happens where you're going to wait for a guy.
But don't you think, in that situation, that's a perfect example. So you don't know why you're getting pulled over. So maybe if the guy's riding Landon Roberts back without lights on, he doesn't know that he was doesn't know he was speeding, so he has no idea why he's pulled over.
I know, but my point is that it happens where cops trail behind a guy for a while after the initial infraction happened.
Right, but the initial infraction a Landon Roberts doesn't know about. So when he pulls up to his house, which is different than you on the side of a road, when he pulls up to his house, that's when the guy throws the lights on, and now in Alandon's Roberts' mind, just like in Brian's mind, on Rima's mind, in your mind, if you pull up to your house and all of a sudden you see cop lights, don't you think that something's going on in your house? That's why I don't blame Elaine and Robert.
You also
got out of the car because you're at your house.
Yeah, I don't blame him for getting out of the car at all, Wiggy. I don't blame him at all. I don't blame the only thing. Once again, the only thing to me that was like, eh, was when he identified him as saying, "Hey, there's a big black male," and then and also saying he
wouldn't comply and yell at him pretty hard. Neither of which is true. He did comply, and there was he did not have to yell at him pretty hard.
He's talking to the dispatcher. Right. That's one part of it. But in terms of the act, everything from the pulling them over, Elaine and Roberts getting out, the back and forth conversation once they start talking, I don't have a problem with any of that.
Does Brian and Dighton, we let him get to his good point?
What's Brian?
We see on a weekly basis all these things that happen, okay? Justified, not justified. If you get pulled over, stay in your car until the police officer approaches you.
Brian, but if you're at your house, it's different. You might be thinking... It is different because you might be thinking that something's going on in your house. You got little kids in your house.
You had a wife at home, as we saw.
Your wife and your kids are at home. You might be thinking, uh-oh, did somebody call 911? What's going on in my house? Your initial reaction.
And they don't call Roberts to let him know.
No, when would the police call? If something was going on in the house, they're not going to all of a sudden say, oh, call your husband. You see lights in your, as you pull into your driveway, you're thinking in your mind, what's going on in my house? And your initial reaction is, oh, I'm going to get out. Then when the officer says, wait a second, stay in your car, now you're trying to figure out, hey, what's going on? Is there something going on in my house?
This is a completely different dynamic because it was in the driveway of his house.
Right,
if this was on the side of the road and he got out.
Right, you don't do that.
But that's why I asked the question, if the police officer was behind them 2 or 3 miles away from his home, he would have pulled them over on the side of the street. Why does he wait till he gets...
Well, again, I don't have an explanation for it, Wiggy, but all I know is that happens.
Go ahead. I'm assuming, I mean, so it appears as if Roberts lives in a neighborhood, a nice suburban neighborhood. I'm assuming the speed limit for a neighborhood is not 35 miles an hour. It's usually
much lower than that.
Right, so if you're going at 59 to 35, the 35 must have been prior to him pulling into
like
his neighborhood.
Like a main street, a main street. What's this street here that we got out here?
Soldiers Field Road.
Yes. Right, so maybe a Soldiers Field Road, and now it's like, wait, that's where.
And then you're confused. You go, I may have been speeding, but this happened minutes ago. Why is this happening?
I would imagine there's also an element, and this could happen. I don't know. I don't know what the protocol for police are, but if you have a guy who's speeding, right, and then you know what the reaction, if you're speeding, you slow down, or you feel like there's a cop behind you, you slow down, and now you're going a little bit, the cop might be checking your plates, might be checking on other things.
Yeah, but if you're speeding, as soon as you go by him and he feels like you're speeding, he's throwing the whip is on and he's coming to get you.
Sometimes, not always.
But that's my point. If he doesn't get you right away, you think it in your mind. If you don't see him, you might be thinking in your mind, okay, but if I wasn't speeding, or maybe what's going on here?
But do you think, and we don't know the answer, that maybe we do, but Elaine Roberts, did he know that he was... being followed by a cop car all the way to his driveway?
If the cop car doesn't, if it's nighttime, which it was, and the cop car doesn't have sirens.
I bet you know when someone's following you.
No, you just said you didn't know that. You said that there was somebody following you for 10 minutes. Did you know?
No, I didn't know it was a cop car, but I got the sense. Also, there was people, it was a sort of a main road, so I didn't think twice about a car behind me. I didn't know. I couldn't see the lights on top of the thing.
He's probably thinking the same way. He's probably thinking, and then all of a sudden, that's why I think if the cop would throw the lights on him, if the cop threw the lights on him earlier and wanted him to pull over earlier, we would have seen dash cam footage of this police officer with his lights on saying, hey, listen, I've been trying to get this car to pull over, and it hasn't pulled over.
I just have to, guys, and I know we're going to go to a break, but I have to just... reel it in here. And so this whole conversation, there's been awful, awful instances of African American or minorities getting pulled over without just cause.
Mm-hmm.
But when we're breaking this down, this is a police officer going to the dispatcher. Forget about the waiting in the car, making him wait in the car. This is about what he said to the dispatcher, a big black guy. Other than that, outrage for Elaine Roberts is sort of baffling.
I would also say, too, though, the officer, a little overzealous. I mean, get back in there. I mean, he's in his driveway, dude.
Alex, I've had overzealous police officers with me, too.
Or how about even you and the insurance in the house? It's his house. Why don't you let him go in the house and get his insurance? What's he going to do, flee? He's going to run away from the scene? He's going to come back with a gun and shoot you with a knife?
I mean, that's just idiocy. Alex, how many times have you been pulled over?
Two or three.
Okay, so, and you probably had different variations of police officers.
But never in my own driveway.
I understand that. But there have been times where you get pulled over and the police officer is more belligerent, more angry, saying, hey, more aggressive to you. And that's happened, believe me.
And Wiggy can obviously speak to it more than I can. But if you're black, that happens more often than it doesn't happen.
But I'm also saying it happens across the board.
Listen, we've all been pulled over by cops plenty of times, right? Some of us more than others. But there's never been a situation, never. I don't care if it's your driveway. I don't care if it's the side of the road. When you have a guy waiting in the vehicle for 8 minutes, 9 minutes, that's not standard procedure. For you to be sitting there waiting for 9 minutes, like, what the hell's going
on? Especially, again, when you're in your house. It is not standard procedure,
but I have been pulled over. I have been pulled over at least five minutes.
So before the cop even got to you?
Yes.
Cop pulled you over.
Yes, and I think that other people have as well.
No.
Is it procedure? No. Should it have happened? Probably not. Was it because of he was a little wary of the situation and he wasn't acting or thinking like he should have been? Probably.
I've been pulled over a number of times and I've never been sitting in the car
This is what we're railing about in this incident. The guy who waited eight minutes?
It's one aspect of it. Him referring to Robert as a big black guy is the headline grabber.
I think you're lying. For a cop to pull you over and then walk up to your car
and explain why. Because they usually pull you over and walk over to you immediately. Then they take your license and registration.
Then they run it
in their system, and that's where it takes long. They'll run in the system. But usually when you're pulled over.
You know what? We should go to Rob in Charlestown when we get a chance.
We will, yes. He is a retired cop. He thinks he can explain the situation. Maybe it was the guy who pulled me over.
Maybe wait five minutes.
We'll find out if it's standard procedure to make a guy wait less time on hold.
It's not. That's my point. It's not, but it happens. That's what I'm telling
you. You'll spend less time on hold than Landon Roberts spent in his car waiting for the cop to come out. We'll get to all the calls on the other side, but first, here's what's trending now.
Listen to OMF on your smart speaker. Just say, hey, Google, play 93.7 WEEI. Hey, Alexa, play 93.7 WEEI. Now here's what's trending on WEEI.
Make it a good one.
The Reds, it's a solemn occasion because the Red Sox lost the Dodgers last night, 11-2.
They're only a game and a half out of first.
Don't give us
second wild card.
Here's the real test, Wiggy. Go ahead, continue.
Well, I need to tell the people at Chris Sale's night. We have to just waking up. He allowed five runs for the third straight start, Rob. Red Sox now 6-13 in Chris Sale's starts.
Okay.
They're 1.5 game out of a playoff spot.
Thank you. You've learned. Right. Yes.
And the Yankees lost the Blue Jays 2-1 last night. Red Sox, by the way, 7 games against the Jays and Orioles coming up after this stretch.
I tell you what, here's the real stretch, and Dave Dombrowski talked about it when saying we had to go get a pitcher. They have 13 straight games against the Rays and the Yankees.
That's where the season will be decided. The series will be decided tonight. David Price versus Hyunjin Ryu. First pitch 7:05, pregame 6:05, Shaw's Star Market, WEEI, Red Sox Radio Network. We have Joe Castig and Sean McDonough on the call this evening as well. Red Sox made a trade yesterday, sending over two prospects to the Orioles for Andrew Kashner, Rob, 32-year-old righty, 9-3, 3.83 ERA, but as we'll discuss later, his FIP in the fours.
It was weird.
I don't love that, Rob.
Because, Wiggy, you had said, whatever you do, Dave Dombrowski, do not trade a pair of 17-year-olds for a starting pitcher.
You don't want to do that.
No.
And in summer league news, Celtics lost the Grizzlies 94-88 last night in the quarterfinals. It was their first loss of the summer. Weather, it's a nice one. Sunny with temps in the upper 80s. More your calls on the Landon Roberts story coming up next.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Becca Reamer, Wiggy, and Bradfo on Boston Sports Station, WEEI.
Go back in the house. Go back in the house. Ma'am, if you don't go back in the house, you're going to be arrested. Go back in the house for your safety. Do it now.
So how is this detective... Adam Watkins, Deputy Adam Watkins, rather. He's the one who pulled Landon Roberts over. You hear, what are you, thumbs up? Sounds like
we're talking about their podcast.
Oh, okay. Always yes, lots of podcast
conversation while we were on the air.
He was doing. He did a Periscope yesterday on the off day podcast.
Good job, John.
No, I did that for my personal account, but
whatever.
Great work.
It's all symbiotic.
That was Deputy Adam Watkins telling Landon Roberts' wife to get back in the house or else she'd be arrested. See that too, Rob. That is ridiculous. Telling a wife, get back in, are you going to be arrested? Arrested for what? Standing outside your house?
I mean, isn't that that would be, I don't blame the wife like, coming out, but I don't blame the
officer. No, I don't think that's not protocol.
For saying you're going to be arrested for standing outside of your house? I would say, shut up. What are you talking about,
officer?
That's
not protocol.
My house.
Let's go to this cop.
All right, Billy in Manchester first, though. Well, you got to get to Billy first. He was a Kirk and Callahan caller.
Oh, okay.
And now we hung up on him earlier, so it's the day for it. What's up, Billy?
Good morning. Happy to be on the first time caller on the new format. So
yes.
I appreciate the time.
Welcome.
You know, I'd like to get to Landon Roberts, but you know, two things. Early CMA predictions and then big and rich tickets. When do you guys think you'll have a contest line for those?
Okay, Billy.
And Billy Ray Cyrus and another country guy at the CMA award show.
Really? I like Lil Nas X.
They finally recorded the Mason Ramsey remix of Old Town Road.
Yeah.
They added another horse.
Did you see me at the Essence concert?
At the Essence Festival?
Yeah.
No, I didn't see
you
there.
No?
Were you down there?
Oh, my goodness.
I didn't see you down there.
I'm always fascinated. This is one of my things that nobody cares about. But when you go to a concert, what do?
It's not a concert. It's a festival.
Okay, whatever. When you're sitting in the middle of people listening to music, are you jumping up and out?
But I didn't go to a concert.
Okay, what did you do at the Essence Festival?
You go there, there's parties, you go, there's like different type of
events. All right,
events.
Forget about the Essence Festival.
Okay.
When you go to a concert, what do you do?
Well, I'm not a concert person, so I don't go to concerts.
Hypothetically speaking, if you were to go to a concert.
Yes, if I went to a concert, I would sit there and enjoy the music.
You stand there. You don't like bob up and down, you don't wave your arms.
No, just enjoy the music.
You don't hold up the lighter.
No, I went to the Jay-Z concert, and I would...
You just stand there with your hands in your pocket.
Well, I was, sitting in a box and enjoying the music.
What concert I'm going to on Tuesday, John? John Anderson would like this. Carly Rae.
I was
going to
say, now with the whole morning show situation, there's like 0% chance you and I get sent, but I'm going to be here waiting for the email from upstairs saying that there are Carly Rae tickets, and I will run up and grab
I'm not them. A big concert person, Bradfo. If I'm going to a concert, I would prefer to be more of like one of the smaller, intimate, so where I can drink. I don't have to deal with the crowd. I can kind of lay off to the side.
Yep. And you sit in the lazy boy with your top hat and your snifter right.
With your chapeau.
Yeah, yes. And listen yes. And enjoy Wu-Tang Clan.
Wu-Tang. I got arrested outside of a concert once. Speaking of altercations with
really?
The police. Yes.
Did they make you wait eight minutes before they arrested you?
At a Dave Matthews concert, Wiggy. So yes. Definitely no brothers there at the Dave Matthews concert.
Just so you, when you get arrested for?
Like me. Underage alcohol possession.
Really? How old were you?
19 years old.
And did you go to the Who Scout?
It was one of the most. Yeah, we were thrown in the.
Did they harass you? Did they take you to the ground?
They took away my watch. They took away my phone, my wallet, my socks. I was wearing my shoes rather. I was wearing Sperry's without socks. I was barefoot and it was outside the Xfinity Center. So it was the Mansfield County Prison. There I was. Had to get bailed out by a friend later. And it was one of the famous court cases of our time, the Commonwealth of Massachusetts. Versus Alexander J. Reamer. It was a very good case. We had a high-powered defense attorney, though. Wiggy and Matt Reamer shelled out the bucks. Yep, charges were dropped.
No public defender for you.
Yep, no public defender.
Really?
Yep, charges were dismissed.
What was the case? What was your platform? What was your defense?
My attorney just went up to the judge, whispered some things into his ear, and then they said, okay, you can go. And the attorney collected several hundred dollars from
us. He was drinking Zima, so it doesn't really count.
Yeah, we pulled up in a minivan. Everybody comes running up to our car, and then the officers, literally within 2 minutes, are all busting everybody. Busting everybody. Rob in Charlestown is a retired cop, has some perspective on this. Hey, Rob.
Hey, guys. Good afternoon. The first thing I won't do is I will not Monday morning quarterback, because we do too much of that in this business and in life, and that's not fair to the cop that was down there. Or is it not fair to a Landon Roberts? The couple things that you had mentioned, why did he not pull him over while he was behind him? Well, the protocol is, for the department I worked for, you cannot pull someone over unless it's safe to do so. So it may not have been safe to do so by the standards of people around, traffic, things of that nature. So he pulled him over in his driveway. He put his lights on. Now, what you had mentioned was his reaction, Landon Roberts' reaction when he saw the lights. Normal reaction. what the officer should have or could have done at that point in time is identify himself, identify what's going on, tell him to get back into his vehicle, and I'll talk to you momentarily. Now, the reason why it took so long, it took 8 minutes, is he had out-of-state plates. I don't know if you caught that.
Right. Yep.
He was trying to run his plate to see if he could come up with anything or anybody on it. Now, the last thing I wanted to point out is you were talking about his wife coming out. His tone towards his wife was a little off base. What she could have been charged with was interfering with a lawful order and disobeying a lawful order by a police officer. Now, that being said, what he should have done is we are told three things in the academy. We ask, we advise, we order. We ask you to get back in the house. We advise you to get back in the house. Ma'am, I'm ordering you to get back in the house. He did not do those three things. That's the only gripe that anybody can have in this.
Well, Rob.
Hold on 1 second, sure. Please. And the way he spoke to the dispatcher.
Okay,
that
yes.
was totally, totally ignorant. And he's identifying someone based upon their race. So he ended up profiling Landon Roberts without actually doing it intentionally.
Yeah, I think that was a great call.
Yeah, because he agreed with everything I said.
Well,
No, we learned a lot. We
right.
learned.
I tried to teach you, and now you're listening to the former cop.
No.
He agreed with everything I said.
So first off, we know that when they throw the lights on behind you, they want to make sure it's a safe place to pull you over. So was there a safe place? We don't know that. The other thing we know is that, okay, the reason why they potentially could keep Landon Roberts in the car that long is because out-of-state
plates. Which is true. They did mention that in one of the cuts we played as well.
Yes, he said you have Massachusetts plates on him. And then the ask, advise, and order. The thing I don't know, I mean, I wouldn't dispute the police officer because he knows it better than I do. But if I'm outside my house and a cop tells me to go inside my house and I'm on my property, I'm not going if they got my wife in the driveway with lights on. You can cancel Christmas on that one. There are a few things that I know. Listen, until I get some answers here, I'm not going inside the house.
And here's the thing, though, Rob. You're right. But the officer, this Deputy Watkins, referring to Roberts as a big black guy, makes it into a racial issue. And the Fort Bend County Sheriff, Troy Nels, at his news conference this week, you know, criticized those to turn this into a racial issue, saying, I think there have been traffic stops and interactions between white and blacks that have caused some of those horrible civil unrest in this country. This is not one of those cases. And certainly this doesn't rise to nearly the level of stuff we've seen. But you can't say that race doesn't play a role when, again, the officer is telling the dispatcher, hey, I have a big black guy here who's not complying. I have to yell pretty hard.
But this is what we're screaming about. This is why we can pick through this, and it's sort of interesting. But we're screaming about this because this guy had an ill-advised comment to the dispatcher, and yeah, was the guy in his mind? I'm not going to call him a racist, but.
No.
But what is that in a perfect world? Would you want an officer to talk to the dispatcher?
Because I'm going to refer to somebody as a big black guy. It's like,
when we see this incident, when we see this report, this story, immediately you think about that the officer has done. I had all these transgressions when it comes to pulling this guy over, and there's like the Michael Bennett thing, right? That is next level. With this case, like, this is the more I hear about it and the more we dissect it, including, by the way, after hearing from the officer and how the protocol is, I'm like, really? This doesn't line up with the other.
It doesn't line up with those, but it still goes back to, and like I've said, it's the lack of communication between some, I won't say all, between some law enforcement and some African-American.
And the tone, too. And it just,
because it goes both ways, too, because there are plenty of people, when they get pulled over, that they instantly go on the defensive side and they talk to the police in a certain way that is definitely not warranted. So it goes both ways, and we've seen that before on many.
Do you have, Wiggy, do you have a problem hearing the back and forth? Forget about the waiting, forget about the wife coming out, whatever. The back and forth between Landon Roberts and the officer. Do you have any problem with anything that was said?
I don't have a problem with the tone of the officer. The problem that I have is why aren't you able to give me answers? That's the problem that I have. That's the problem that I would, and I think that's the frustration that Landon Roberts would have. If you were to pull me over and it was in my driveway in this situation, because we can all agree on the side of the road, he would have walked up to him and said, okay, this, that, and the other. But if you would have pulled me over in my driveway and I would have got out thinking like, hey, what's going on? And I don't know what's going on. I would have been frustrated because my initial reaction is there something going on with my wife and kids in the house? And can you please tell me that? And if you can't tell me that because you, for whatever this protocol, and you're like, well, that would frustrate me. The same way I said if the roles were reversed and I walked out and my wife was in the driveway and the officer's telling me to go back inside the house, unless you give me some answers, I'm not going. And until you can, like, say, smooth over this situation, like, hey, what's going on? Why are you doing this? Till then, that, I think, was the problem.
Quinn in Chicopee before the break here. What's up, Quinn?
Yes. Can you guys hear me?
Yes. Yep. What's going on?
Okay. My issue, Alex keeps touching upon it, but not walking in the room, is the compliance issue. A police officer can color any situation that they want. If we didn't have videotape footage and he got arrested and they went to court, the police officer could say that he didn't comply. And we wouldn't necessarily, we would, in most cases,
it would
cases,
be a he said, he said kind of thing, right? It would be his word against Roberts's.
Yes. So I think that's the big issue here. Forget everything else. The man complied, but the police officer called dispatch and told them that they didn't comply. So if something happens, they're going to take the police officer's word.
Right.
That's my issue.
Right. And, and also saying that I had to yell at him very hard. He did not have to yell at him very hard. He told him to get back in the car, and Roberts went back in the car after the first request. So that's a good point as well, Quinn. 617-779-7937. Reamer, Wiggy, Bradfo. We'll be right back.
After the end of a good fight, you deserve an ice-cold reward. Medella is the mark of a fighter. You've earned this rich golden lager with a crisp, refreshing taste. Because you know, the bigger the fight, the better the reward. You put in the hours, the energy, the tough labor. You are a fighter, and Medella is your reward. Medella, the mark of a fighter. Drink responsibly. Beer imported by Crown Imports, Chicago, Illinois.
Now more of Reamer, Wiggy, and Bradfo on Boston Sports Station, WEEI.
Get back in the car. Get back in the car. Get in the car right now. Shut the door. Put the hands on the steering wheel and roll down the window. Do it now.
Ah, great job, John Anderson. Some nice Carly here.
Who's this?
Carly Rae Jepsen, who I'm seeing on Tuesday. No more mornings for me. That means weeknight concerts, baby.
I'm fighting my way in. I'll get it.
What if they tell you you're on Wednesday morning?
Got Carly Rae.
Still going.
Carly Rae.
Will you still go if you're on Wednesday morning?
I can do Tuesday, Thursday, Friday this week.
You're going to say no. They say we only have Wednesday morning. You're going to be judged. Greg Hill is listening.
Wow. I mean, I'm going to his house after. What is it? I mean, I'm not even invited to his
home. Greg Hill's going to Carly Rae on Tuesday.
He is. I'm giving him tickets. Yes. Wait, should I take my tent out of his backyard? I mean, is that a little weird? He hasn't been home this weekend. He must have a vacation house. So I've been there waiting for him to come. A little strange.
That's the wrong house.
They gave me the wrong address.
Some random guy's house.
Well, you said that you think that your athletic achievement should be as a cheerleader, right? You would be your best. What you were born to do is cheerlead.
Yeah, cheer. Cheer people on.
Cheer.
I'm a peppy, positive
guy.
So
maybe when we get a little further away from, you know, your somberness with Jerry,
yes,
we can get you to actually execute some cheers for Greg Hill.
For Greg Hill.
Let's go to Alex in the car.
What is this?
What's going on? I told you. I'm
going to
cheer everyone. I'm doing cheers outside his house now. What's up, Alex? How are you?
Bizarre.
All right. So, anyhow, I had heard Wiki.
This is me. Yes.
On Friday talking about this case. And I think.
Okay, I'm sorry, ultimate. Alex.
Go ahead, Alex. The floor
anyhow,
is yours.
I'm glad. I mean, you know, you do see it from multiple points of view. And obviously. I don't know how we're not supposed to profile a large African American male. I mean, you can say black American male, but I mean, that's the description. okay?
Would they, Alex, would they describe you as, I don't know if you're overweight or not, but would they describe you as, you know, I pulled over, I have a middle-aged white guy here, he won't get back in the car? No, of course not. No, they did that because he was black.
Well, it's a half from
Alex. What would you say? African-American male? Would that be less?
I'd say I have a guy here. Why does this skin color have
Alex,
to do with describing
the situation?
I've
heard this defense since this topic came up and saying, hey, you know, you're identifying a guy.
A suspect.
A suspect, exactly, if you're going to have to track him later. In this case, it sure sounds like he's just saying, hey, you know what? I got a big black guy, and I'm going to be justified if I do anything.
Right.
Because it's not only a big guy, but it's a big black guy.
Well, hurry up and send backup.
Right.
And send me a big black guy with a badge.
Like, well, that's what I think is happening. But the other aspect of things is what I realized is that Callahan has given you a lot of credit. Both you, Wiggy. I remember when you first came on, you were coming on when the Patriots were down 10-3 or whatever. 11-5, and you said they were going to win the Super Bowl.
Yep.
And they were going to kill San Diego.
Yes.
Which they did. And I didn't realize, Alex, why you were there. I mean, I was very irritated every time you talked. But
most were. Most are.
What Callahan actually admired, and I think he tried to push that, you were a good writer. And I think that's what he appreciated in you. And obviously you were his foil. But, I mean, the point is that you know, I think those are the benefits that Callahan has played for you.
Yeah, sure.
And for you, Jermaine, I think, I mean, I loved your voice. I loved hearing you and everything that you stood for. And actually, like you said, you called yourself, what did you call yourself on Friday? George Jefferson.
Yes.
To,
he was my Archie Bunker.
You said
I was
today, too. You recycled that for today?
That's what it is.
And Wiggy's defense, it's a decent line.
That's
a good line.
I'm his modern-day George Jefferson.
Alex, why don't you say something nice about me? What's going on? I feel left out.
He has to go.
And you would be the son.
Oh, what are you doing?
I'd be the son that he never wanted to have.
The son in the Archie Bunker show. What was the guy's name? Well, I forget what the hell his name.
Oh, Meathead?
No, what was Archie Bunker's son, the one who was...
Meathead.
Was it Meathead?
Yes.
Okay, that's who...
Was Meathead gay?
No, he was just like a real, like, think about him being
It was Rob Reiner. It was Rob Reiner.
Yeah, he was a left-wing moon bat liberal.
Well, Rob Reiner is a left-wing moon bat liberal, absolutely.
He was like, there. Because have you ever seen the show Archie Bunker?
No, I haven't.
So he was like, well,
a little before
how would
my
you
time.
Characterize him? He was kind of like...
You don't know who Archie Bunker is?
I know who Archie Bunker is.
He was kind of like,
I don't
you
feel
know,
confident that you do know who Archie Bunker is.
The old crotchety white guy, yes.
And the son was like... protesting, you
From
know.
All in the Family, of
yeah,
course
he's
I know.
Protesting,
the son-in-law.
Son-in-law, excuse
yes.
me. Protesting, not do this. We need to do
meathead.
That.
You're right. That was me. I'm Meathead. So you're the George Jefferson to Jerry's Archie Bunker.
Yes.
I'm the Meathead. What are you, Ron?
I'm Edith, the wife.
Archie! I want to take another call on this. Who do we want? Let's get John and Gardner's been a good friend to the station. Hey, John.
Good morning, boys. How you all doing?
What's up?
All right.
Wiggy, it's White Lightning. I see you've treated my boy better, so I appreciate that.
White Lightning.
Listen, as Rob, the fine co-host, said, this is not the most egregious example of some of the horrible things we've seen in the past. I think it is a little bit of a window into implicit and subconscious bias. And by the way, for the record, Roberts denies that he was speeding. He says he saw the guy following him, he made a couple of turns, and then the guy turned on his lights right before he went into his driveway. I got that in the article that was in the Saturday Globe Sports yesterday, obviously.
Okay, well, that's new.
Why, him reading the Saturday Globe Sports?
No, I mean, that's the first
that Roberts was speeding.
That's the first time I heard Roberts say he wasn't speeding.
And it is worth noting, by the way, that the traffic ticket got rescinded.
Yes.
Roberts just got warned at the end of it, too.
That Rob, the police officer, that was a retired officer. But I usually knew most of the guys involved because they were long-term inmates. At any rate, if you come upon a hot situation, if you start out saying sir and ma'am to people, it gets their attention in a good way, and it can and often does sort of calm things from the outset. So if you start out saying, sir, it's a traffic stop for a speeding, I got to run certain things, you know, whatever he wanted to expand on. But I need you to get back in your car, put your hands where I can see them on the steering wheel, and we're going to run our business. You just hang on with us for a couple of minutes, okay, sir? And I bet you're going to get better compliance. And the other thing, I started, and Mark gave me a couple of minutes on this yesterday. I'm not criticizing him. He gave me airtime, but he cut me off because I think he thought I was heading somewhere else. The flip side, for some officers in some high crime areas, and Alex, we got to admit,
yes,
statistically, percentage wise, we can talk the conversations about how we got there, but there are higher rates of crime in urban,
without a doubt, communities, of course, time. Yes.
So if you're an officer and you're working in that environment, you're having tussles to and fro, either verbally or otherwise. Maybe that's where some of your implicit bias comes from.
Yes.
But you got to overcome that.
Yes.
The one thing I didn't get to say, go ahead, Alex, and let me just finish one thought. Go ahead.
No, you finish yours, John, then we'll hang up and I'll say
the next thing I was going to say is, for those that might wonder why that people in the black community sometimes are hostile and don't cooperate and things like that, and it's a back and forth. Well, go remember the O.J. Simpson series and how that started out with the history of the L.A. Police Department, how
they would Rodney King, citizens. All that, yep.
So there's, we don't arrive at a place in society just all of a sudden.
Right.
There's stuff that leads up to it, and you know what I mean?
Yep.
But if, bottom line, if a person in authority or anybody starts out with sir and ma'am, you're going to get a lot better results.
Yeah, lots of good points, John. Thanks. And right, none of these interactions occur in a vacuum. You've said it several times on these airwaves, Wiggy, that you tell your son all the time how to talk to police officers. Who's this now?
I asked for some cheerleader music.
Okay, this is me. Go, 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 go.
I feel like we had to build things up again. We're getting a little too morose.
Morose? Okay.
Come on. Let's go.
Hey.
God,
that's awful. I don't understand. What do we want me to cheerlead now?
Yes, I kind of do.
Okay.
I'm
in a great mood,
this.
Rob. I'm with you in my pal,
okay,
Jermaine.
Okay, good.
What's
I just want to make sure.
Issue here? Yes.
Every once in a while, we can drop that in to get your spirits up.
Sure. But yeah, you talk. I don't know how to transition from that. I guess we'll go to break on the other side. Al Horford. Wiggy calls Al Horford a traitor. I think you're... real quick, I do want to make this point, though. I'm not going to be derailed from this. The thing where police officers say, high crime area, I was intimidated, I was... You know what, though? I respect that. I understand that. But that's also part of the job. You know, you sign up to be a police officer knowing you're going to be in some situations where you may not feel all that comfortable.
Well,
some tough situations.
I don't buy
that as an excuse.
Well, it's more along the lines, whether it's high crime area, right?
Yes.
It's the same way for the people who live in those neighborhoods and how you interact with the police officers, right? So my interaction with the police officers growing up was much different maybe than your interactions police officers growing up. So we had no different than when we talked about with Jerry. You had a perception of what these police officers were. And you have to, if you live in that environment or you're in that environment, you have to realize and say, okay, let me start to learn these people on an individual basis and let me see how to communicate with these people. So I think the biggest thing is, just like that one caller said, it's about the communication aspect, whether you're in that environment. And so that's why, like you was getting ready to say, I tell my son, when you're communicating with law enforcement, a law enforcement officer is not a bad apple. Everybody's not going to talk to you or disrespect you or talk to you down, right? But if you come across and you make sure that you're being respectful towards their job, knowing that they do have probably the hottest job out there, if you do that, 9 out of 10 times, it's going to go in your favor. There's always going to be that one bad apple who wants to just, you know, who probably was picked on when he was a kid. But I think it's more about being able to communicate in these situations, in these environments. And I'll give Landon Roberts credit. He did a good job of it. And that police officer that pulled him over, for the most part, he was okay, but he has to learn.
Yeah,
he gets a D. Landon Roberts gets a B.
Yes, so Landon.
There you go. We're giving out grades.
I'm getting ready
for the power round.
Rob's going to do more of that next
report
hour.
Card.
I also, as I mentioned, Wiggy, all week long, you've been talking about Al Horford's a traitor for signing.
Traitor!
With he is not.
If he comes back to Boston, please, police officers, pull him over.
I'll give him a standing ovation. He looked out for number one. You should like what Al Horford did. We'll do that next as well. Reamer, Wiggy, Bradford, Sports Radio, WEEI.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of 4 amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get 4 iPhone 15s on us and 4 lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.